This morning's scripture comes from James, the first chapter, the first four verses, if you'd like to read along with me. James 1, 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
The book of Ruth opens up with the family of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons. And they left Bethlehem because of the famine. And they left and went to Moab. They were seeking refuge, but refuge could not be found there. Elimelech and his two sons died, leaving Naomi and Orpah and Ruth widows. To that bitter end, Naomi decides to return home to Bethlehem. We know that Ruth goes with her. And in Ruth 1 in verses 19 through 21, the Bible reads, "And so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they came into Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said, Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" I share that with you this morning because many people view life exactly like Naomi. She saw only sadness that had come upon her. She didn't see Ruth. She didn't see the future that would come. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death. She feared evil. She felt alone. She saw God's hand at work causing her to become a bitter woman. She's not the first person to view such a terrible grief in such a matter. There is another way. Is there some way that you and I can face the trials of life and come out perfected, come out better? You know, we use phrases like, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But how many of us make lemonade, and how many of us simply have a sour demeanor? When our spiritual life is confronted by this life we live in the flesh, we have to determine which life leads. A spiritual life behaves differently than the fleshly life. The book of James is placed as one of the general letters. But he opens with James, a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. James, as did Paul and Peter and the other apostles, sees themselves as slaves to God. James, he writes to a people that have been dispersed because of the trials. The ones who read this letter were people who suffered in their life. people who had been forced from their homeland. And at the very least, these people were Christians, and they lived scattered throughout the Mediterranean area. To this group of people, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I've got to say, what an opening. What an opening. Rarely do we feel that a life like Naomi's could be counted a joy. In fact, we often sympathize with folks who have gone through these things. And yet James wants us here to see trials as something that can be productive, especially to our spiritual growth. It is the same words that is used in verse 12 where he says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." In the 2006 movie, Rocky Balboa, one of a long sequel list of the Rocky movies, Rocky is talking to his son, who's having a difficult time because of how people see him and his dad. And I'm going to quote a thing out of the movie. Now, I want you to understand this is coming from a man who's been hit in the head too many times. So don't come and correct me on grammar afterwards, okay? But Rocky tells him, he said, "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about hard, how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done." It's exactly what James is saying to these brethren. It's not a joy that you face the trials and tests. It is the joy that keeps you moving forward and winning the race. You will never know your own strength until it is tested. We often quote Revelation 2:10. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We quote that and rarely read the verses to put it in its context, verses 8 through 11. But it says, "And the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Here's the important part. "He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." You see, the trials and tribulations are meant to be overcome, not to be languishing in. Jesus is telling the churches here that I know the trials are coming, but the reward is something you should look forward to when you make it through those trials. See, Jesus is telling him it's not about death, it's about life. You know, there is a process that we go through in order to reach them and still have joy. A process that we go through tests our faith. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. The idea here James is trying to get across is that here is what we call an active, courageous endurance. It's not an idle word, but one that actively pushes us to keep going even when our mind is telling us to just quit. It's telling us to see the end result, because the end result will be worth it. You like Krispy Kreme donuts? I like Krispy Kreme donuts. And, you know, when the Krispy Kreme donut shop, that light lights up, fresh, hot now, the cars start lining up. And you get them through the drive-thru. I remember years ago when the Krispy Kreme went on the corner of River Avenue and Dorchester Road. Why they put it that intersection, I don't know. But the traffic be down the lane of traffic to turn in to go through the drive-thru when that sign lit up. People will wait in line for hours for those delights. But let me tell you about the process that leads up to the Krispy Kreme donut. You know, first to take a little ball of dough. And then that ball of dough is shot through with a blast of air to create a hole. And then those balls of donut go into a proof box. And they will ride up and down an elevator in this proof box in an atmosphere of heat and humidity. Sounds like here in the summer, doesn't it? This causes the dough to rise. And after this, they are dropped into hot oil and cooked thoroughly. Then after this, the donuts are passed through a cascading waterfall of icing. Do you ever feel like a Krispy Kreme donut? Psalm 66, in verses 8 through 12, David writes here, "O bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid afflictions upon our loins. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. You brought us out into a wealthy place." Friends, this is what James is telling us. We are going to face trials of many kinds. And yes, there's going to be times where we are going to be emotionally bitter. There are going to be times where we feel like God is angry with us because what is going on within our lives. But let me tell you that if you see the bigger picture, if you keep moving forward, God will not only bring you through it, but he will bring you out into a place of abundance. You know, if we went into the Krispy Kreme shop and ordered a dozen donuts, we would not expect a dozen balls of dough, would we? We expect the finished product. And God is proofing us and making us a finished product. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. James says that when we stand the test We are perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Friends, it's time we tell ourselves these words. We are here today in spite of all that life throws us. You are perfect. You are complete. You are whole in Christ. You don't lack anything because you don't quit on God. And He doesn't quit on us. Too often we read about the trials of others, and it causes us to think about our own failures, about the times where sin has overtaken us and we fell. But the question is, did you repent? Did you go to God and face your sin with Him? And if your answer is yes, then why do you keep thinking about it? That is the work of the devil, who wants to keep you beating yourself up over something that God has forgiven you of. You are complete and perfect in Christ. Learn it. Live it. Love it. This is the day that the Lord has made. The song says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. It may not be the best day of your life, but we will rejoice that God gives us the strength, that God is walking with us. And through it all, He will bring us to that place of abundance. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a life that seems to be spinning out of control. Now, growing up in elementary school in the playground, you don't see them much anymore. Kids could get flung off of them, get hurt. The merry-go-rounds. And you always had two of the longest leg kids that would stand out there and grab hold of the thing because they could run the fastest, spin it around. And you'd say, one by one, we'd end up losing our grip. We'd go by so fast and we'd go flying off that thing. Now, sometimes that's like life. We're on a merry-go-round of life, and sometimes we're hanging on for dear life. We allow sometimes our weaknesses to cause us to let go. I learned that when it starts getting too fast, you know, if you put your foot down, you can stop that thing from spinning. Sometimes that's what we need to do. If our life is spinning out of control, sometimes we need to put our foot down. And in a way, we do that in our Christian life. And if you're not a Christian, it's to obey the gospel. You can stop the spinning world of life itself to be able to focus and to be able to walk straight by obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can be placed on that right track. The merry-go-round will stop. You will have something to be able to say, I count it all joy, because you know what the reward will be. And as you work together with the brethren here in that Christian walk, we will together, one day when this life is over, be all reunited again. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel. Maybe you see your life spinning out of control. Maybe the trials and things that you are facing is becoming too much to bear. God has made a way to take care of that burden for you. One is through your brothers and sisters in Christ who can go to Him in prayer to remember you in those prayers, and to be able to offer that hand of fellowship and consolation. you have a need this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.